This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did. Got me, J. Lewis Mills, and you are on the level with J. Lewis Mills. How is everyone's Saturday afternoon going? Mine is going just absolutely great. I am so very sorry for the lateness of the show starting. A little bit of bad weather. Sometimes you have a little bit of technical difficulties, but we are here and we are live. You can reach us today at 1-888-627-6008. Again, that is 1-888-627-6008. Again, as I said, I hope you all had a great week. I had a very cool, interesting week. I got some really, really cool things coming up within the next week or so, and I am so very excited to tell you all about that once it actually manifests itself a little more. For today's show, so last year, I had a very dear, close friend of mine that's, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again, this cat is like a brother to me. We've known each other for a long time. His name is Mace Byers. He is the bassist of the band Grey Days. And last year, we had a conversation. It was about a concert that he was going to be playing in on September 25th of 2017. It was like a reunion show of the band Grey Days. The front man of the band Grey Days was, as everyone knows and loves, Mr. Chester Bennington. The day after our conversation last year, it was reported that Chester had taken his life. So that concert never happened. So I wanted to have Mace on again today, you know, a little more than a year removed from such the tragedy. I just, you know, wanted to check in with him, and I know that Chester has a lot of fans, and I'm sure you all would love to hear, you know, all the good things and the memories going down memory lane with Mace and me today. So without any further ado, I'm so humbled and grateful and happy to bring my friend, my brother, Mace Byers, into the conversation. How's it going, Mace? And thank you very much, man, for being here today.
Hey, J. Lewis. Yeah, thank you for having me back. Thank you so much. And Yeah, I mean, even with you doing the intro and talking, it's flashing me back to the last interview, obviously, you know.
Yeah, man. And for those that didn't hear our last interview, and for those that are not familiar so much with you and with Grey Days, can we start off the conversation by you just giving us a little bit of the backstory of how you got into Grey Days and your backstory and how you and Chester met and all of that?
Sure. I was living in LA and I was in a band at the time, fronting a band, and I was working on the Strip, Sunset Strip, on the side, stage managing for a couple friends in LA. And they made this move to, they bought a very large venue in Tempe, Arizona, and they asked me if I wanted to come out there and be production manager and help start the club and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I made the move, and I was production manager. It's turned out to be pretty successful. We were having a lot of up-and-coming bands. Any band that was kind of up and coming or coming down the ladder, so to speak, because it held a couple thousand people, they played there. And I worked a lot. We started to do an after hours event. The owners asked me, "Hey, Mace, would you DJ?" You know, like old disco and stuff, like an after hours all ages event. And so on Friday and Saturdays, this band Great A's would come in after the regular bands played,
mm-hmm.
and they'd play for an hour or so doing covers. And I started to become friends with them, you know, because they're playing every weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just blown away because, you know, Chester was a singer. I guess he was about maybe 18, 19 then. And
wow.
I was just blown away by his vocals, his performance. And I remember this one time, I told this story many times. He wore glasses, and this is a very large and kind of a tall stage. It was probably a good 5 feet up from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out one night and didn't have his glasses on, or whatever the case may be, and just jumped right off the stage by accident, hit the ground, didn't miss a beat, didn't miss a vocal lick, and it just star quality, man. And I was always very impressed with his him being so young and how good he was and his range, and so to speak. And Sean was kind of ran the band, just very professional, nice guy, and I became friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
And over a little bit of time, they had, at that time, they had a CD out called Wake Me. And they, for whatever reason, the bass player decided to leave the band. And no one really knew I was a musician in town because I just, you know, helped run this venue.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me if I knew a bass player. And I said, sure do, me. And they go, you know, they didn't even know I played bass. So I went down and auditioned, and I got the gig. That's really how it happened. And I was, you know, a lot older than the other guys, but I've always looked fairly young for my age. So
mm-hmm.
I fit in pretty good. And that's how it happened. And then we began to write. And at the time, then we lost the original guitar player, Jason. He left the act for personal reasons, and
mm-hmm.
we got a new guitar player, Robert Benish, from Cleveland. And the way he got in the band, I forget what national act it was that rolled through town that we had opened up for, and they had our CD on the bus, and somehow it got to Bobby that we needed a guitar player. He actually came out from Cleveland and auditioned and then moved out here. It was very interesting in how Bobby joined the act. May he rest in peace. We lost him. Probably about.
Oh, sorry to hear that too.
Yeah, that was quite some time ago. It was like a brain aneurysm or some situation like that. And we were actually going to do a reunion back then for a benefit for him, but due to scheduling with Chester's second record and things going on,
mm-hmm.
we had to cancel it. So that reunion that you were talking about, this was the second one that was supposed to be going down. So.
Oh wow! So yeah. So now that we have the basis, no pun intended, of who you are, you know, and how you knew Chester, that obviously proves you have known him for a very long time. We have
it's,
not
20,
spoken
20 t- not the inner job manager 20 years.
Sure.
It's about 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did it? I mean, I don't really want to ask the cliche answer of how you're doing, you know, after the fact of losing Chester. But you know, I know that the Great A's fans, as well as the you know, Chester's other fans, would really like to know, you know, how are you doing? How did you take, you know, the news when you first heard it? Where were you? Do you mind, you know, reenacting or going through that whole scenario when you found out and how it hit you and all of that?
Well, you know, for whatever reason, the past couple of years of my life, I've had a lot of personal loss.
Mm-hmm.
So the December prior the December prior to that July mm-hmm. and February. So I lost my father in December. I lost my mother in February. So I was already at this point pretty distraught, yes. you know, a little lost at the, you know, losing both my parents. And actually a family friend due to suicide within a couple weeks of my mother. The long story short, as far as that goes, I just had it for whatever reason, the past couple of years, a lot of loss.
Yeah.
And so when that happened, it really hit me really hard. At the same time, I think it was keeping me a little up, the fact that we were going to play together in a reunion prior to this. So even though I had a lot of tragedy at the time, I had this kind of positive thing going on in my life, mm-hmm. you know. And I do remember when I found out the news, I was actually IMing, there was a fan in Montenegro that was trying to get her VIP tickets for the show. Because people were already buying
the September 25th show.
Tickets. Yes, okay. From all around the world. People were coming in from Japan. This chick was a classically trained pianist. Big fan of Great Ace since she was very young, like 12 or 13, she said. So she was very excited about coming out, and she was having problems buying the tickets. And so I was actually IMing her, discussing that. We had been talking a little bit prior about stuff. And I got a phone call from my longtime friend, Dave Tedder. He was been my publicist for many different bands and old mm-hmm. friend. And he calls me up on the phone and tells me, you know, what he heard or saw online, that, you know, Chester had passed. And I was like, what? And so I immediately checked online, saw it myself, told her what I saw, hung up, you know, got off the IM with her, mm-hmm. got off the phone with him, and I immediately called Sean. And I'm like, well, Sean will know, because, you know, he's more connected, you know, being in business with Chester and
yes.
and so forth. And he didn't know. So I was the one that let Sean know, which
oh, wow.
I guess you could say it was kind of a good thing, because he didn't hear from someone random, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
That is true. Yeah.
In retrospect, you know. And so he goes, oh, I'm calling the management, I'm gonna, you know, get to the bottom of this. And of course he did, and he told me yes, it happened. And yeah, so that's how I found out. And then, of course, from then I, you know, at that point I had to turn off my phone because of all the messages and IMing and everything mm-hmm. coming through. It was just overwhelming. People I hadn't talked to in so long were contacting me, you know, because it was a pretty big buzz. Regarding this reunion, you know, I think we had already had like a million views on the commercial that Sean made with Chester for the reunion. So all his fans were pretty excited about it, you know.
And I also remember when we were having the conversation the night before it happened, I remember specifically asking you if, for some reason, Chester wasn't able to do the show, like if his schedule, he had a schedule conflict or there was some other reason he wouldn't be able to do the show, would the show still go on? And you didn't even miss a beat. You said, no, the show will not happen without Chester. So, you know, to me, it's kind of... I don't want to say interesting because I don't want to discredit the moment, but it was a pretty powerful moment, in my opinion, that you had, you know, we had spoken about that, and then the very next day, it actually came to fruition that Chester wasn't going to be at the show. So having said that, once you and your other bandmates of Grey Days found out that, you know, this was true and, you know, Chester wasn't going to be at the show, was there ever any conversation of is this show still going to happen because everyone is expecting it, or was it just a common sense thing? We don't even have to talk about it because this is not going to happen.
Oh, it was not going to happen immediately. And, you know, we, among as well as the show, there was the re-releasing and all the fresh work being done to the material we had done with Chester. So there was, you know, we had producers involved. People had already, the original guitar player had already flown out to Washington or Portland area to record some fresh tracks and all this. And, you know, Sean and I didn't even bring up the record for quite some time, not even in conversation, you know. The only discussion that maybe a little bit regarding that was if there was going to be some kind of memorial event, we thought there's a very slight chance that maybe we might do something like that, which didn't happen. That kind of got squashed pretty quickly. But that's just kind of something you would think could happen. Yeah. You know, you'd do a memorial maybe there. But
I don't want to say memorial, but do I remember some type of observance at one of the club tattoos? Did that happen?
There was many. There was actually quite a few. The one that I was really a part of was, so Chester had a band called Dead by Sunrise.
Okay.
With Amir and Ryan from Julian Kay, which used to be Orgy. And so they had done a record together. And so what Sean wanted to do, some kind of memorial for Chester. So this was put together in Vegas, in the same area where one of his cup tattoos is. And so we decided that the two bands would mix, you know, Great A's and Amir and Ryan, you know, the four of us, Sean and I, we would do like three or four acoustic songs. And it was a quite interesting memorial because the way it was set up was fans and different people came on stage and told their story about how Chester affected their lives. And it was, we put it on live, and it was quite intense. It was a really intense memorial. And, it felt, you know, bittersweet, but so that's the more I was involved with. And then there was others. That Talinda did an event at one of the club tattoos in Scottsdale and different things. But, you know, as you know, I mean, the past year or so, they really haven't stopped. Like, these memorials are still going on. It's pretty remarkable.
And I have to say also, when I did my, going to advertise the show, I really use Instagram a lot. That's really become like my haven. And just the number of people that viewed the post that I have on my Instagram, and not even that, but just the number of people that liked those particular posts, I have to say, those posts that are on my Instagram, those are some of the highest liked or highest viewed posts that I have. So, you know, I absolutely understand that, you know, even though Chester himself may not be here, his music and his sound and his voice is going to live on for such a long time that, you know, his true fans, in a sense, will really never be without him, in my opinion. And that just speaks testament to just the work and the body of work that he did, whether it was with Gray Days or whoever. You know, I've listened to Chester in a couple of different bands. And the one thing I can say as a music fan and as a Chester Bennington fan is he stayed consistent. Like, he brought it from the first time I heard him up until the most recent or the most current work that I heard him do. It was just amazing. So as you said, you know, there are a lot of different memorials going on. When those memorials happen, do you or your other bandmates, do people ever contact you and either A, ask you if it's okay, or B, invite you to come to them?
I've been asked quite a few times to play some events, but I just can't get myself to play these songs.
Yeah.
With anybody else other than, you know, Sean, Ryan, Amir, I just can't do it. And I don't really have an explanation, but I guess it's just difficult to do that. But yes, I've been asked, and there's quite a few. It's pretty constant type of thing where I'm sending out fans old grade A's pictures and different things, memorabilia for them, I'll send out. The thing about Chester was, yes, he always brought it 100%, and his 100% squashed most vocalists 110%.
Yes, you know what I'm saying? That's a good point.
He's just had it, man, and his fans have this connection to the core that I still see, like, these fans that contact me, they're flying to LA, they're flying to Arizona just to see where he could be, to a place where he was, where he came from, what clubs he played, different things in LA. They're still, and these are like the first time they're coming to the United States, and they're, you know, and they have a lot of these fans that are, you know, have flame tattoos up their arms, just like him. They really had such a deep connection with his lyrics and him and his person. And of course, he's such a warm guy in person that everybody that met him, just, you know, all his fans, and he would stay, as Sean would talk a lot, about this, that, you know, the rest of the band would kind of move on, but he would stay for his fans. So it's just this connection that they do not want to lose. And it's coming out, like, you know, all of our social media was put together for the reunion show and for the record that was going to, you know, that was getting redone and stuff with him. And that has grown exponentially even since. It hasn't stopped. And it was put up for the reunion, you know? It doesn't stop. Like I say, it's growing, which is pretty amazing. What's really heavy about it is just there's been a lot of celebrity tragedies, so to speak, that we've been aware of the past couple of years.
Yeah.
But for some reason, this is the one that really, really kicked a movement with mental health and anxiety and depression and suicide. That's really like it's like a nonstop tidal wave of people, heartwarming outreach to people that have mental illness or maybe depressed. It's monumental, really.
You are on the level with J. Lewis Mills and my guest, Mace Byers, the bassist of Grade A's. You can call in if you want to ask Mace a question, or if you have a story or comment about Chester. You can call in at 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. The day of the funeral, Mace, How was that for you? Can you walk us through how that was? Like, how was it when you woke up, and how was I'm not asking you who was at the event, because that doesn't really matter, but what was the tone of the event And to end this question, I would also like to ask, do you ever think you as a close friend will have a level of closure, or do you think this will be, for a lack of a better way to say it, do you think this will always be an open wound, so to speak, for you?
Yeah, I don't think there'll ever be any real closure with my parents and or with Chester and all. Mm-hmm. No, because it's the type of thing to where, and you know, the music is still coming out, so I'm still involved with that. And I don't want to call it an open wound, but it's kind of like a subject that is bittersweet all the time, you know? Like, it sometimes it warms my heart to hear him singing on the radio, and then other times it kicks my ass, you know? Yeah. It's the same thing with thinking about my parents and stuff. Sometimes I'll have good memories, sometimes I'll be bummed out. So it's I don't think I'll ever have closure, especially since I really didn't get to see him. I was going to see him prior, right recently before the show, but I go, oh, mm-hmm. I'll see him at rehearsal, because he had come to L.A., and I go, I'll see him at rehearsal. I'll let him do his thing, you know. I'll see him in Arizona, and so I didn't really get that. So there's some loose ends, you know.
And you mentioned earlier, you said that you and Sean hadn't talked about the album for a while, and you just mentioned doing some music. So have you and Sean and your other bandmates, have you had a conversation, and is there going to be anything new coming out that the fans can look forward to seeing?
Yes. So obviously it was put on the side, why everybody kind of mourned and healed and, the funeral and the memorial. Oh, but to go back to your question, you asked me what it was like when I woke up for his funeral. I never really answered that. I remember it vividly, because I went and actually bought a brand new, not a cheap suit, pretty expensive suit. I go, I'm going to, I need to show up to this with respect to Chester. And so I got in my car, which is pretty much a brand new car, and I'm in this brand new suit, brand new shoes, you know, and this weird gummy light comes on my car like I'm getting a flat, and I'm rushing to, traffic. It was extremely hot that day, I remember, very hot, and, it was very hot at the funeral. It was an outside event. So I remember when I said my goodbyes, and I go out to my car, and I had a flat on my brand new car that day. New suit. I'm sweating. I got a flat. I ended up changing it. Wasn't a big deal just because it's so new. There's no grease, but I'll never forget it. It was just, it was a rough one. It was definitely rough to hear everybody talk. And although I'm glad I got to be a part of it, obviously.
And this was in Los Angeles, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Was there a private service for close family and friends, and then was there another service for fans, or was there anything done specifically for fans?
That's the memorials later. This was a pretty large event. A lot of musicians that were close to him, celebrities, family, friends. And that was it, other than all these other memorials that just kept going on, which a lot of people kept doing. And then, you had the Hollywood Bowl. That was for the fans, really, that memorial that Linkin Park played. And then we did a Great A's one, basically, in Vegas for him. But, that was it.
And was it a, I hope this is a fair question, and I think with you knowing me as long as you have, you'll understand what I mean, but how did it feel to be at the funeral? Did you ever, while you were there, did it ever seem like it was a surreal moment and you couldn't believe you were there? Or were you just so numb that that wasn't even in an existence for you?
It was surreal prior to the tragedy, just the fact that the band was going to do this show and there was other positive stuff in the future going on. That was extremely surreal, and everybody was so on top of the world regarding that. But it was very surreal at the same time, you know.
Yes.
And then it went surreal in a dark way, obviously, after that, and with the funeral and all these memorials and things going on. I couldn't really listen to any Linkin Park. I really couldn't do it. I don't know, kind of, you know, I'm at the point now where I'm just finally hitting the reset after all the tragedy in my personal life past couple of years. I feel like I'm kind of getting out of my own way finally.
Were you able to, I know you said you weren't able to listen to any Linkin Park. Were you able to listen to any Gray Days? Was it a comfort to listen to the song, the music that you played with Chester, or would that have been even worse than just listening to Linkin Park?
That was worse. I couldn't do that either.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't. It's just, especially his lyrics are not very happy.
Mm-hmm.
They come from a dark place, and they're called Gray Days, or album. The CD I did with Gray Days, you know, No Sun Today, and it's all dark lyrics. He didn't really write many happy songs, and I relate to him. I don't really write many happy songs myself, just for whatever reason. But so yeah, it was hard for quite some time to listen. But what's happening now is, like you asked me regarding this music, is it was already in motion, being remixed, recorded, different things, and it moved up a notch, a level, so to speak, now to where all these different people are involved for the love of the music and for Chester. You got the owner of NRG Studios in North Hollywood, California, where I believe Linkin Park did their first two records there. So the owner was quite fond of Chester and Kyle, the engineer over there. And so recently we've been now tracking there people that, like Kristen Davis, a guitar player that was going to do the reunion show with us in the future shows. He's been tracking on it now. We've had Ryan, the lead singer of Julian K, who was in Dead by Sunrise, playing guitar and singing with Chester and stuff. He's dropping tracks on it. There's a producer out of Florida, Lou, who's been doing like these really new and fresh kind of remixes of some of the stuff. And just a little side point, which is, I think it's interesting. I was rooming with him at the motel when we were doing the session last month, and he has the same birthday as Chester. Like to the day. Kind of crazy. That was just weird. One of those kind of universal things going on with it. So you have all these people involved, and the music is coming out really incredible. There'll be quite a good portion of it. I believe will be going to his kids and like a trust fund for them and different things. But it's really happening because Chester's fans want it. You know, they want the material. You know, we're not like grabbing this material. This was already happening. It was already set in motion. And then it's almost like they even want it more. And Sean has, you know, Sean by no means doesn't need any money from this release.
Yeah,
you know, obviously his. And for the fans out there, I suggest you get his book. It's called Tattooed Millionaire by Sean Dowdell, and it really gives you a good backstory of how Sean even met Chester. And he formed Great A's, and that answers a lot of questions regarding the Chester's childhood and stuff. It's kind of cool. But he has this really big passion for getting this material out. I do as well, but I think Sean is a little bit more invested in it, knowing that, you know, Sean knew him since he was a teenager, you know, very young. And it's just, so even if I wanted to kind of block out everything, I can't, because I'm involved with this material now, and it's really amazing to hear his vocals from 20 years ago, you know, isolated in the studio. Because last time I heard it 20 years ago, in the studio back then, and I don't even know how much I was in there for the mix when we did mix the record. And the thing with that record was we really didn't do many overdubs. It was just a raw alternative rock record. What's really carried that record till now is the songs are very strong, I believe. But Chester's vocals were just, even though it was 20 years ago, still just as amazing, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just kind of timeless, I guess, you know? His vocals are timeless. And
now, with this new music that's coming out, of course, you know, it's going to come out, you know, people will be able to download it or get it however they get it. But when it comes to, like, actually touring, so would it be possible, is it going to be a possibility that Great A's would tour again to play this music? And if you did, who would you possibly get to be the front man?
Yeah, I don't see that happening in any form.
Okay.
Because he's irreplaceable.
Yes.
You know, and Sean and I aren't doing it so we can go out and play and be in a rock band and tour. It's not even about that. Even the original reunion was just about all of us doing it together again. The only thing I can see occurring in the future would be some benefits here and there to where we get together again with Amir and Ryan from Dead by Sunrise, and we do some of the material. And even then, you know, Ryan has a spectacular voice, but he sings these songs his own way. You know what I mean? He doesn't even try to emulate Chester. So I could see things like that happening. But it's not something we really talk about. We just really want to get the material out for all his fans. So they have this. It was never formally released. It's all kinds of stuff out on YouTube, but it's, you know, you can't really download anything. And this is all new, fresh music and stuff, which is, it's really exciting for the fans to have something new. And you and I were talking about it. It's almost like a full closure. It's like, you know, where he came from. And now it's going to kind of come out, you know, the material he did, where he came from. And yeah, it's just an interesting thing happening.
How do you think, and I know neither one of us can see the future, but when it actually does come out, or when it's finished, do you have any anxiety about hearing the music, or are you, I know you said that you're just now getting to the place where, you know, you're starting to, you know, your level of acceptance is becoming a lot more. Are you excited to hear it? Are you anxious to hear it? Do you have anxiety? How do you feel about hearing the new music?
I guess a little of both. I'm excited for it to come out for Chess's fans, you know, because it's something that really needs to be shared. I don't know how people are going to take it. I'm sure there will be people out there with their opinion, and everyone's entitled to their own opinion. If, you know, we're exploiting the old music and so forth, which I could see. We haven't had any real negative feedback through all the social media of this music that's occurring right now. Basically nothing but thank yous and praise that, you know, they're going to get some more, you know, some more material from Chester that they don't have, you know? So I'm a little nervous about how people look at it, but, you know, so be it. People want it, and the fans want it. We're trying our best to get it released. There's a lot of legality with it, and just the entertainment music industry alone is just, you know, it's a nightmare in general, the music industry. And there's so many people involved with this, from producers, you know, engineers, and the different writers involved, and the different players involved, and family members, and it's a lot going on. And you know, Sean's doing a wonderful job trying to, how would you put it, trying to keep this all organized and done respectfully and legally and correctly. You know, it's a lot involved. I'm pretty much hanging out there with just the creative side with Sean, and you know, with the mixes and doing my overdubs here and there. And I'm there with these other guitar players. We have these guest guitar players coming in. There'll be a couple more, like some well-known guitar players that I'll be tracking on some of the tracks as well. But, you know, Jay over at NRG is just an amazing human being and just an amazing engineer. And he's mixing this stuff, and it just sounds so incredible and beautiful. It's definitely, it's going to honor him very well. You know, it sounds great.
You are on the level with J. Lewis Mills, my guest Mace Byers, bassist of Great A's. You can call Mace at 1-888-627-6008. That's 1-888-627-6008. So here's the deal, man. You just said something that kind of made me sit up a little bit. You said that, you know, everybody's going to have their own opinion, which they will, and you said that some people may say that you're exploiting Chester's music, and you kind of also said, and I understand that. So here's my question / comment. I cannot see, and I'm not saying this to you because we're so close, and I'm not saying this to you because I am a Chester Bennington fan. I'm saying this to you because I feel like I have a good level of common sense. So if you are putting out, as you just said, if you are putting out this music for the fans to have something, and if this music is still, at the end of the day, still also your music, and is still also Sean's music, and is still also anyone that was around, that's still around, that was the one of the originals part of the music, it's hard for me to understand how exploitation could even come into the realm of anyone's reality. Now, true, I do believe that there are people out there just to try and get attention. They will have something to say because they do understand the firestorm that they are going to cause. But in that firestorm, I mean, we do live in a society to where you don't have to necessarily do things that are good to be successful. There are some people that do some pretty bad things, or that you know, that lie, or that will, you know, these gossip columnists that will exaggerate a story just to get clicks or just to get likes or just to get people to come to, you know, their websites or their blogs or whatever it is that they're doing. So I do fully understand those people are out there. But do you really understand, or would you do you really think that if someone had anything to say about you all trying to exploit Chester's music, that you know, that's there should be merit to that?
Well, like I said, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But the thing about this particular record is the fans have been wanting it out for 20 years. Ever since he was successful, and they found out about this record, it just took a life of its own. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to say it was, for me, it almost, for years, and I was still fully into the music industry and playing and everything for all those years, it was almost like something I was in the shadow of, that almost didn't want to deal with it for here and there. Sometimes I go through stages in my career, like, you know, stop talking about Gray Days, you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
you know, I'm doing this now.
Yes.
And then the numerous times when it was going to come out and different things, it's just strange. It just doesn't look, there's plenty of, not to discount other musicians that pass or bands, mm-hmm. but for some reason, like I said, Chester connected with fans on such a personal level that this is just something they, you know, they're not letting go. You know, I know of other musicians with past bands and stuff that didn't really have this kind of energy for whatever reason with mm-hmm. the older material. I am close to the material because I co-wrote it, you know, but it's still, to me, it's just a great rock record, you know, his, and the fans, I think, you know, they just want it out. And as far as the negativity, that's just me. Maybe you asked me if I have anxiety about the release, and so I would say that would be the only anxiety I would have, is, you know, maybe some people might think we're putting it out for the wrong reasons, but we're really not, you know.
Do you think you will ever, Mace, do you think you will ever write a song about losing Chester? Do you think that would, do you think your acceptance would be able to come to the point where you would be able to write a song?
I did. I actually
did write a song.
One song. Yeah, what happened? There's a chick named Diana from Romania. She's a Linkin Park ambassador of Romania, and she was helping us. I had mentioned her in our past interview with all the social media, and, you know, she's in the music industry out in Romania.
Yes.
And
I remember meeting her. Very nice person.
Yeah, well, she came out here really just to visit Arizona to see where Chester, again, like some of these other fans, where he's from and everything, and just to touch the, you know, be around to where he, you know, at clubs and everything. So she came out to Arizona with a friend, and I've been trying to write a solo record, and it wasn't going too well for whatever reason. I was working with these younger producers, but I just had this one, like, song, and almost came out, turned, like, epic sounding, like so much production, you know, violin, electric violin, and these guys did all this percussion work and programming, and I did, you know, guitar and all this stuff, and I came up with a chorus, and it was about all the tragedy I had recently. It was called, you know, Deadly Sunrise, you know, because of the band he was in, Dead by Sunrise. And Deadly Sunrise is me waking up to hearing about a death, you know. And I had so many Deadly Sunrises in the past couple of years that I came up with this chorus, and I just really couldn't come up with a melody or vert for the verses or anything. And we, you know, we did all this production on it, and we put it to the side, me and the producers, and I just started writing some solo stuff. And she came out, and she had written, she's done covers, and she had a very nice, really good voice, and she had written verse, like all these lyrics about Chester, about his passing. They were very close. She, you know, would hang out with him. She was an intern for Linkin Park a little bit in Europe. And I'm like, oh, my God, the lyrics, your verses match my chorus. And I threw her in my studio just to say, I said, here, just sing over the verses. And it just came out like it was meant to be. It was the most, it was like amazing. And I, a couple of days later, just threw her in the studio for a couple hours each day. She tracked all the vocals, and I gave it to her. I'm like, here, take the song, you know. And she kind of took it as for her, for herself, and trying to start herself a little musical career. But it was kind of a healing moment for her and me as well to release this song. It's called Deadly Sunrise.
Is there anywhere people can go to hear it?
Yeah, it's on Spotify.
Okay.
It's going to be under Diana's Roads. DianasRoads, I believe.
Okay.
Deadly Sunrise, and it's on YouTube as well. And yeah, it's weird. I didn't really share it too much on my social media, maybe here and there. It was more of a personal release for me writing that song, you know.
Yeah.
And and I wanted someone to do something with it. It just organically turned into this special thing with her, which is pretty amazing. And that's pretty much the only thing I've released in a long time as a songwriter.
Well, that's what my next question was going to be, and we're getting towards the end of the show, so let me just say now, thank you for being here, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to tell everybody, you know, if you're working on anything now, what that is and what's coming up for you in the short term, and where everybody that's listening can go to find you or your music online.
Well, I'm GraySquirrel65 on Instagram. but I'm not really doing much musically right now. I am going to LA next in a week or two. I'm really just working on the grade A stuff, and I really don't have much plans for playing much. I'm doing some writing. If something happens organically, I come up with, I have some tunes, but I'm not really pursuing it right now. I'm more focusing on getting that material out. And kind of lost my fire.
Do you have a potential release date for it, for the material we were speaking about?
No, it's in the works. I mean, we're still writing, tracking, mixing. I go, like I said, I go back in like the 22nd, 23rd. I go back to LA, Energy, where we have some more work, working on some more tunes.
Okay.
But I the one thing I have done as far as creativity goes to me, which I've done it before, never done before, is I have a show with Heidi. My friend Heidi Gadd, it's called Aliens and Beyond, and we talked about UFOs and aliens and controversy. And
where can people go to find that show?
Aliens and Beyond, everything. So you got Facebook Aliens and Beyond, you got hashtag Aliens and Beyond, you got the YouTube channel Aliens and Beyond, and musically it's cool because I get to score the music, and Heidi and I, she's a musician, we wrote the theme song together, and so that's really what I've been doing, other than all my other personal, you know, business ventures and things. But yeah, I'm getting older. I don't really have much drive for the touring or for anything. I'm sure I'll play out again eventually and do something, but not at the moment. you know, I'm more interested in this YouTube channel and stuff. It's different. It's something new and fresh for me.
And is there anywhere online that listeners can go to download Gray Day's past albums or get any type of Gray Day's memorabilia that they may want, like a T-shirt or whatever you all have?
No, there's nothing like that. If they go to YouTube, all they have to do is put in the search, you know, Gray Day's, and there's just it's endless as far as all the older material that's out there. And there is the real hashtag, the real Gray Day's on Instagram, and there's a Twitter at the real Gray Day's, and then of course we have a Facebook, the real Gray Day's.
Yeah.
And so all the fans kind of talk, and we keep them informed about what's going on. And you know, as far as pick like stuff like that, I just have fans sometimes ask me through an IM on it, you know, do you have any pictures or anything? And I get something copied or printed for them, and I'll mail it out to them. You know, I have Sean sign it. Because it's really just Sean and I, for the most part, that are left. And, you know, I ended up moving out in Arizona through all this because I was rehearsing the weekend before that happened for the show. So I ended up moving out here. So I got a lot closer to Sean now again and different people to the events that occurred.
Well, again, man, I thank you very kindly for being here. I'm sure the fans are glad to, you know, we're happy to hear from you and happy to hear, you know, just a little bit more about Chester. I know that on one of the Instagram posts that I posted, I did say, you know, he was one of those voices. And as you said in our conversation, you know, there have been other singers that have, you know, lost their lives. And, you know, I feel like over the last 10, 12 years, there are several singers that I feel like we lost way, way too soon. Of course, I'm not God. You know, it was all in God's plan, so I understand that. But just the fact of, you know, such a great talent, such a great voice, and such a great man. And Chester, that that has been taken from us. You know, I don't mean to keep repeating our conversation, but I did say in our conversation, you know, his music is going to, you know, his music is going to last for a while, for a long time. You know, the sound that Chester has, the music that he made, I believe it can be played in almost any era. Going forward. So I really do believe that even though the man, Chester Bennington, is gone, you know, the spirit and the work and the legacy of Chester is still living on. And you never know, you know, he does have children. Maybe one of his children will grow up to be a singer and carry on his name. That is kind of something to look out for.
You know, Draven looks just like him.
Really?
Draven. Yeah, oh, yeah. Draven looks just like him. They really
so
look
then
like
maybe
him.
Maybe he may, you he's know, a, he
he's,
may
a, he's a great kid,
one.
Too.
Absolutely. Well, again, thank you very much, Mace. Thank you all for listening this week. Next week, just going to have a conversation. There's some stuff I need to clear up. Last week, there was, I made an announcement about a show I was going to do. And, you know, a few weeks ago, I kind of did the same thing. I didn't do those shows. So I'm just going to have a conversation just to help you all understand where I was coming from and what all that meant. I hope you all have a great week. I look forward to being with you live again next week. Again, we have moved to Saturdays 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. You can still go to bbsradio.com/onthelevel to reach the archive. You can reach me at jlewismills.com. jlewismills@gmail.com. Jlewismills is on all of my social media. So please reach out to me. I answer just like Mace. I answer fans. I answer listeners. I look forward to hearing from you. I thank you. Thank you all so much for being here. See you next week. We are out.
Thank you for having me, Jay Lewis. Take care.
Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.